Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Not long ago, Klal Yisrael lost an Adam Gadol. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zichron Levracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Smir Yerushalayim. Tonight, we are privileged to hear Divrei Zikaron from Ravan Lapyansky, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Greater Washington in Silver Spring, Maryland, and also brother-in-law of the Rosh Yeshiva. We're privileged for two reasons. First of all, here in Atlanta, we haven't had the opportunity to hear words about the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. And any time an Adam Gadol is Nifter, it's very important that we have a chance to hear who he was and are able to internalize what it is that we've lost. But we're also privileged because of the person who's going to be giving us this message. Ravan Lapyansky, the Rosh Yeshiva in Silver Spring in the Yeshiva Greater Washington, is himself an Adam Gadol. I remember Silver Spring before Rav Lapyansky came to Silver Spring and afterwards. And the change in the city, the way that Torah has become stronger, and people's hasagos, people's goals, people's interests, and the way that they relate to Torah has grown immeasurably since his coming to America, to Silver Spring. To introduce Rav Lapyansky, Rabbi Feldman felt that Rav Moshe Baruch Parnas would be an excellent choice to make that introduction. Rabbi Parnas, first of all, has a personal connection with Rav Lapyansky, and also knew the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zichron Levracha. Rabbi Parnas.
Before I begin, a few thanks are in order. A great appreciation goes to Reb Chaim Glazer, who organized the entire Shabbos Chizuk and also the Hespedim for tonight. He's one of the unsung heroes of the community, as you know. He doesn't have a position, but yet he manages, Baruch Hashem, to make a great impact on everyone. And of course, Reb Shmuel Kashkaman and his Chaverim, who helped to organize and envision the entire Shabbos Chizuk and also the Hesped tonight. And obviously, our thanks go to Rabbi Lan Feldman, the Rav of the community, for being the de facto sponsor of everything good that goes on in this community. So to all of them, and to Rav Poransky also, the Reish Kayach, to all of them goes a tremendous Yashar Koyach and a great appreciation of Yashar Koyach. Chazal tell us that, Rashi quotes, that prior to going to Lavan's house in Charan, Yaakov Avinu stopped and learned for 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. At that time, Shem had passed away, and he learned 14 years under Ever. And when Yaakov finally went to Charan, he got word that Ever was Nifter. Ever had passed away. And he was obviously very distraught, and Chazal relates that he was upset for many days. And he organized his spedim, he organized eulogies for Ever. Now that makes sense. Ever was his Rebbe, he studied under him for 14 years. Ever was a great man, and it would make sense to organize a spedim for Ever. What needs to be understood is that Chazal tell us that only 2 years after Yaakov Avinu had arrived in Lavan's house, Ever passed away. Ever was Nifter. Now that was before Yaakov had any children, it was before he even married Rachel and Leah. So the question arises, exactly to whom did Yaakov give a hesped? Lavan certainly had no interest in hearing about Ever, and the people in Charan didn't know Ever, and they certainly weren't on the level to be able to appreciate who Ever was. So to whom did Yaakov give a hesped? And the understanding is very simple. Yaakov gave a hesped to whomever would listen. It's true that nobody in Charan knew anything about Ever, and they couldn't appreciate him. But they understood, Yaakov understood, that speaking about Ever would change people's lives. If you didn't meet him personally, you didn't hear a shir from him, you didn't hear anything from him at all, it didn't matter. just listening to who he was would change a person's life. Most of us, I imagine, didn't, or many of us, didn't have the opportunity to meet the great Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel. And certainly many of us didn't have a chance to be in a shir. And we didn't even, many of us didn't have a chance to hear anything from him at all. But the fact of the matter is that certain people transcend life. And we could learn from who they are and what they stood for even after they passed away. And to illustrate a measure of how much we could understand, how much we could appreciate from the great Mir Rosh Yeshiva, I want to share with you a Divrei Chazal. In the Medrash Tana de Eliyahu, Eliyahu Hanavi says that he asserts, he makes a statement, Hakol lefi ha'maisa. Everything goes according to a person's action. Whatever a person does in this world, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with him in this world and in the next world. And he uses the life of Devorah HaNaviah as an illustration. And Eliyahu HaNavi says that Devorah, the great Naviah, lived in a time in which Pinchas was still alive. Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen was still alive. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Devorah to be the Navi of Klal Yisrael, the main prophetess of Klal Yisrael. Why? So the Medrash tells us that Devorah, when she first got married, married an Amoritz. She married Nikon Aramis. Now what happens? Sometimes people marry an Amoritz, Nebuch. But you know what? Devorah wasn't depressed about it, and she wasn't upset about it, and she didn't cry over her bitter lot. She decided she's going to change things. And you know what she did? Chazal say that she approached her husband and she said, you know what? I have an idea. Let me make psilos. Let me make wicks. Special, important, special large, thick wicks. And you know, you'll take them to Shiloh, and Shiloh is the Mishkan, and there you'll light the wicks, and people will associate, will learn Torah through the wicks that you're lighting, and thereby you'll associate with Talmidei Chachamim. And that's exactly what happened according to plan. Her husband went down to Shiloh, and he brought the wicks and he lit them, and he associated with Talmidei Chachamim, and he became a Talmud Chacham in his own right. The reason Devorah did this is because she wanted her husband to earn a portion in the world to come, a chelik in Olam Haba. That's what she wanted. That's what she wanted, and that's what she got. She got that. Imagine this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Devorah the essential Nevi of her day, the one who gave over Torah to all of Klal Yisrael, because her main interest was in saving the neshama of one human being, her husband. She wanted her husband to be zoche to a portion, a chelik in Olam Haba, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that she would be the main Nevi of Klal Yisrael. Imagine a person who's interested in the spiritual well-being of not just one individual, but of thousands of individuals. The Mir Yeshiva is the largest and the biggest yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. The Rosh Yeshiva was interested in the spiritual welfare of thousands upon thousands of Talmidim. Imagine that. Imagine how great a person is when he undertakes the financial responsibility of such an institution. Devorah received the prophecy, the Neviah, and because she took care of one person and she supported people in the Mishkan Shiloh to be able to learn. Imagine a person who undertakes the financial responsibilities of thousands and tens of thousands of people. Imagine how great that person is. There is no Nevuah Bizman Hazeh. There isn't anybody who is a Navi. But there are certainly people who, through the eyes of Chazal, we understand, have tremendous chusim, have tremendous merit. The great Mir Rosh Yeshiva was certainly one of those people. I am not the person to be able to be maspid the Mir Rosh Yeshiva. But Baruch Hashem, Rav Aplyansky is here, and as the Reish Kail mentioned, he's not only a Talmud Chacham in his own right, but he is also the brother-in-law of the great Mir Rosh Yeshiva. And it's worthwhile for all of us to listen carefully to understand the life and the personality of Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, and we will certainly gain by it. And with that, I'd like to introduce the Rosh Yeshiva to give us Divrei Hasbit.
Kind of mixed emotions that I'm here tonight. On the one hand, I have a deep connection with Atlanta. So many people here over the years I've become very kosher to, with Yedidus and with Ava, and it definitely is a wonderful moment to be here with everybody and touch base occasionally and be mishtatim, such a wonderful makom Torah. On the other hand, obviously this particular evening is not, it's a difficult task to be maspid and to remember and so on. It's not easy. But I guess sometimes emotions with Yedidim and so on, it has special meaning when you share feelings and emotions and so on. I'm not clear as to the tzibur here in terms of how many had learned in the mirror actually, how many had known the Rosh Yeshiva, how many knew of the Rosh Yeshiva, how many know of the Yeshiva. I'm not quite certain, and I can't take for granted much. On the other hand, a lot of the things have been said and said over and printed and so on. So I'll briefly sketch his life. That's not, for most people, it's not a big chiddush. And I wanted to focus more on something that had to do with his sense of life, something that had to do with him, and some qualities that he had that really, really intrigued us. And to try to get a sense of it, because it's not only something that's worthy to emulate, it's something that we really wish to emulate. Briefly, the sketch of his life, and again, I'm sure you've read and seen and known, he was born in Chicago in 43 or so, very kind of modern. The family had yeshivish roots, but it was a kind of your average out-of-town family in the 40s, went to a co-ed school, didn't display any unusual characteristics that could have set him aside as being a future leader of Klal Yisrael and Marbitz Torah par excellence. Came to the Mir Yeshiva on a visit because he's related. He was a young boy in the middle of high school. His uncle, Reb Leizudel, took tremendous interest in him, and Reb Leizudel said, "This boy is destined for greatness." No one knew what he meant. I mean, he was a wonderfully nice person, but nothing about him conveyed any sense of a future gadol. He pushed and pulled to get him back to yeshiva. As soon as he finished high school, he came back. Reb Leizudel took him under his wings, had some of the best thing I liked learning with him. He was a natural masmid that learned incessantly, always busy learning. He also displayed a tremendous quality of reaching out to others, where he would learn with other people, weaker boys usually, at all odd hours. In a few short years, he became a son-in-law. He married Reb Leizudel's granddaughter, who was a second cousin of his. He kept the same. He just grew naturally, learned more and more, kept teaching more and more. And when our late father-in-law passed away in 1990, he took over the yeshiva. He was at that time showing already signs of Parkinson's, which continued to take its toll for the next 21 years. With the disease and with everything, he managed to push the yeshiva. He made from 1,000 talmidim or so, with one building, a makom of 7-8 buildings and campuses, with over 7,000 talmidim, and all while progressively suffering from the Parkinson's. The stories that came out after he was nifta are extremely numerous. Half of them are about his hasmada and harbatzas Torah. The other half are about his warm personal relationships, which were incredibly touching. I didn't intend to say many stories or any stories really. There's just one that I got an email this morning and I feel compelled to share, simply because I guess if I got an email this morning, it must. One of our talmidim was at a hesped a few nights ago in Yeshiva Tinek, and Reb Moshe Grunwald, who is the executive director of the Yeshiva in America, gave the hesped. And he said over a story, one of the stories exemplifying Reb Nosson Tzvi's care, and especially for children and love. He said about 15 years ago, someone passed away, left over family with a few yesomim. Reb Nosson told the children that they should write letters to him. He corresponded with them. He sent them a picture. They sent them pictures of his. He was sort of a father figure back and forth. And when they eventually came to Eretz Yisrael, he helped each one find a yeshiva that would be good for him, and sort of adopted them as a family, very fatherly way. That was a story told, a very nice story. At the end, after the hesped, someone walked over to him And I actually know who the person is. Once my Talmud sent an email, I realized who the person was. And he said, you know, you forgot a part of the story. He said, there were four boys that were older, and there was an eight-year-old girl who was very sad because she didn't know what you're supposed to write to Reb Nosson, and she didn't know what kind of questions you ask a Rashiv, and she felt very lonely. So he sent her back. A few weeks later, she gets a hand-drawn heart with some nice words to her. And she said she never felt, since her father passed away, she hadn't felt that love. And the Yuman said, it's my wife. I heard it just yesterday. It fits the pattern of all the stories, but I felt I have to say it, and I'm not going to be mired with stories. I want to speak about a different aspect. I think when you entered the house, and the last 10 years or so that I've been in Silver Spring full-time, like with the family and so on, I would go visit rarely, you know, once a year, maybe twice a year, and what struck you was the absolute bedlam in the house. There were always chaburis, always shurim, always chavrusas, always people coming, always people going. He was traveling, talking, constant flow of activities between the shiurim that he kept saying, between people he was talking to, the money he had to raise, and this was going on, and yet there was a tremendous calm, tranquility, and a simcha in the person. And it's something that is a mystery. Where did that come from? Where was that calm, that tranquility, despite everything? One of my children works in the Mirror office in New York, and this was the last 2 years, was very involved, and it has been a very difficult situation financially because of the recession, everything, and he would tell me about the hardships and so on, and he told me, you should know that as difficult as it is, Reb Nosson is a calm person. He's calm. He's very pressured. He made an incredible amount of trips. He came to our house this past summer. He did a trip to Baltimore and then to Silver Spring, a basically fruitless kind of last-ditch effort to raise funds. He came to raise money in Potomac, which is. And he couldn't speak anymore. He was so drained, couldn't speak, and just sat there. That was it. The other people had to do the talking. And not much, I don't think much came out of it. But when he came back to our house, he sat, same calm Reb Nosson, same smile, same tranquility. And it's a question that kind of has been surfacing. Where does that come from? What gives a person that menucha? And in a certain sense, we associate menucha with Olam Haba. Where does a person tap into menucha Olam Haza? Because at the end of the day, that's what we're striving for. What we strive for is the menucha l'chai olamim. And I'd like to try to get a sense of something about him that creates and produces that menucha. There's a pasuk in Koheles. It says, "Misuka shnas ha'oved." Sweet is the sleep of someone who has worked, but the overeating, the oversatiation, doesn't allow the wealthy man to sleep. So the pasuk is balancing, is sort of contrasting two people. There's the person who works hard, and it's pleasant and sweet to sleep as somebody who's working. But the contrast is the person who is wealthy and because he's too full. Is the problem that he's worked very hard and he's exhausted, that's why he sleeps so well? So then say, well, the wealthy man is not exhausted. Is the wealthy man, the problem is that he's eaten too much? So say that the poor man who's eaten just what he needs can sleep good. The contrast is, it doesn't contrast. It seems to be talking two different things. A worker versus a wealthy man. Mesuka Shasa Oved without telling us why, versus the fact that he's eaten too much, he's oversatiated. What's the contrast over here? The pasuk describing Rishoyim many places describes a Rasha as being the person that has no tranquility. It says, "Varishoyim kiyam nigrash, kasheket lo yuchal." Rishoyim, wicked people, are like the stormy sea that can't seem to find menucha. The roges, itzavon, are all terms used to describe many times in the Nevi'im, Tanakh, Rishoyim. And a tzaddik, menucha, and so on, is the hallmark of a tzaddik. So it's not a punishment. We don't assume that it's a punishment, but rather we're assuming that it's something about the nature of the tzaddik's avoda versus the rasha's avoda, that one has menucha and one doesn't. So let's take a look. I want to take a look at two mikoros, and then we'll try to get understand it. One is an Ikrim, Sefer Ikrim. The Sefer Ikrim says, he's dealing with the pasuk of Yisachar. It says, "Vayar menucha kitov." Yisachar saw that it's good to have menucha, and once again, Yisachar is the Talmud Chacham, the paradigm Talmud Chacham. Vayet shichmo lispol. So he sort of applied himself to work hard, suffer, undertake a burden, which seems oxymoronic in the pasuk. If Vayar menucha kitov, he should have got himself a comfortable sofa and laid out. Why is it that if Vayar menucha kitov, Vayet shichmo lispol? A point that many Rishonim, many Achronim are talking about. The Ikrim says as follows. V'cheina menucha lo tovo kim acha yigia. Menucha can come only after working hard. Omar ha-chacham, the chacham said, Bakashas ha-menucha b'menucha, a person who seeks menucha through menucha, in other words, through taking it easy, te'oved ha-menucha, loses the menucha, v'torish ha-yigia, and ends up with frustration. I guess that would be the best translation. V'zema shenema b'yisachar, v'yar menucha kitov, v'sa'oretz kina'ema, v'yet shichmo lispol. The pasuk says he saw that menucha, tranquility, is good, therefore he applied himself. V'yirtzaloma, the explanation is, l'fi sh'yisachar kosev ha-menucha v'atainuk. Because Yisachar desired menucha, not a shichmo lismol. That's why he applied himself to work. Chloma, shayegei atomid, he worked hard so that he would have menucha. So the Ikrim seems to say it in a very, very practical term. He says, well, you know, you need to prepare stuff, you need to prepare money and food and so on if you want to take it easy. But he's hinting at something more. There's a Rabbi Sadia Gaon. It's in, and I want to thank Rabbi Silverman, who actually did a lot of yegiyah to get it for me. It was a last-minute request, and he ran back and got it for me. And he says, he speaks about Zemaimar Asiri, and he speaks about the various, what's important and what's good in this world, and what people think is good and is not really good. So he says like this, Omru Anoshim, people are on the impression, Ki amenucha goyremes des oisos ha-nefesh be'atzma. Rest is very good. It helps a person recover, digest well, make you stronger, etc., etc. Gives a whole list of wonderful things about resting. And he says the best raya is v'daylecha ki das ha'emes l'asher b'charuha nimshalva. Torah is called tranquility. Shrei Nehemar, it says, umitsu, umitsu mar goa l'nafshechem. The Navi says, go for Torah, and you're going to find tranquility. That's the position of people that push tranquility as being the greatest tainu. Hashkafasi al daitam shel ishkafti al daitam shelu. I thought about it. Umitzasim sichl meyasek adam. I think them to be extraordinarily foolish people.
Lefisha menucha lo titochen lo adam ela acha hitaskiyos harbeis vachonis trocha vatkonis yonav. Menucha is only possible when you work hard. Vachakach yafsik vaz yanuach. And so on. But menucha by itself is not menucha but atzlus. So Rabbi Nassan Yigoyen says something very similar, that menucha that's not preceded by avoda is not real menucha. How do you understand it? I mean, yes, if I want a comfortable bed, I need to work hard, earn money, and get a comfortable bed. But if I yashin the money, if I want a lottery ticket, so why can't I go straight to the bed? I mean, they seem to present a practical issue of not being able to find something that will give me the comfort, the money to get that comfort. But let's say I have it. So the answer is that both the Ikrim and Rav Sadia Goyen are tapping into an extremely fundamental yesod of what the Bria is, where our sense of yigiyah, where our sense of menucha comes from. Menucha is the purpose of the Bria. Yom shekuler aruchu menucha lechaye olamim. Olam haba is the place of menucha. That's what the Bria is striving for. So what is that menucha? The pasuk describes the menucha at its most fundamental level, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shabbos. It says, Vayechulu HaShemayim V'aretz V'chol Tzvam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the entirety of creation. Vayechalakim, Vayeshboisalakim. Ashebara Elokim La'asos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested, Kavayachol, when everything that had been intended to come out into the world came out. Rashi describes the entire Bria was under the surface, and each day the corresponding elements pushed themselves out, and they became the Nevroim, they became the creations of that day. So that means the world is like a woman who has a fetus. The entire world is a place with potential in it. And that potential presses. It is pushing to find its way out and to realize itself. That's the picture of the world is like a woman that has a child, and the child will create the labor and the stress and the pressure to find its way out until it is completely out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world Ashebara Elokim La'asos. Every single element of the world is there, locked in, waiting to come out, and pressuring to come out. And that pressure is realized in the restlessness and the frustration that a person feels when he's not doing that. A person that has potential, and every person has potential, and a person who has, and every person is created with some tachlis, some purpose to give and to contribute and to give birth to something, and that keeps pressing the person, and the person will not know menucha until he doesn't get that out. We're not talking about one thing or two things. We're talking about every moment of opportunity that a person has is pregnant with a tachlis. And a person, it says, Adam la'omol yulad. A person was created to work. La'omol is when you're going against the tide of something. When you're going, when you have to push against something, that's a melus. A person was created for a melus. And when a person completely expresses himself, when a person completely squeezes the last drop of potential out of himself, it has the fulfillment and the menucha of Vayechula Shemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am Vayechal Elokim Mikol Melachto Vayishbos. The Menucha of Shabbos is because everything that was laying underground in the Bria pushed its way up and nothing was left as potential. That's the pattern for the world. And it will always be that way. The Rishoyim, it says, there's a lashon, Tzfuncha temale bitnam. Your hidden items are filling up their stomachs. In other words, they're full of things that needed to be realized. And the Rasha doesn't realize it, doesn't express it. And that's the side of why Rishoyim's Kayam Nigrashu, the restlessness and the fact that they can't come to, the fact that they're unhappy people is because they have something inside themselves that's waiting to be realized. They don't realize it, they will not realize it, and that makes the person, and that creates a tremendous unhappiness and restlessness in the person. That's the Seder Shoyim. That's the Pshat, I think, and the Ikrim and the Reb Sadia Gaon are both explaining. Menucha can't be realized through Menucha, because that's not the process. The process of Menucha, the Maral explains in many places, that Menucha means something that's not in its ideal situation. When you have something that's kind of not balanced, so physically it's not an ideal situation, it will keep wobbling until it finds its most stable position. Tenua, movement, flux, is when something needs to realize itself, needs to change itself, and till it finally gets to its position that it was meant to be. And that's when it comes to Menucha. We're talking here about something that is not just a Mila. We're talking about something here that is probably the innermost foundation that the Bria and that Adam stands on. The world in its big picture and Adam as a world were created with that picture. Something full of potential, something which requires Yigia and Amal to realize it, and the realization of it becomes the achievement and the attainment of Menucha and tranquility. If I can think of a way to describe my brother's life, it was a life that was kulay amelus. Nothing ever was done the easy way. He wasn't blessed with extraordinary kishronos, and that's why he had to come and sit and learn. He would sit and learn endless hours again and again with different chavrusas. Didn't have a especially difficult head, didn't have a especially good head. Whatever he got was because he worked very hard. There wasn't a minute of the day that he didn't use. And his learning was done again and again and again and again. Amelus to the last drop. There wasn't a lazy moment of sitting back, an idea falling into his head, hopping like this. It was kula amelus. And maybe that's why he had such a smile, and such, his eyes danced, and so much hana, and so much menuchas hanefesh from the learning. His work with people, we're friendly, we're nice, but not when it's difficult. You know, on a nice Friday night, when we're well rested and it's a long Friday night and we have company, it's delightful. But there are some tough Friday nights and some long and late summer night, I'm tired. So we kind of turn off. We don't push ourselves. There was no such thing in his house as saying no. always, people always, unless he was out cold, there wasn't times when the word too difficult was ever said. Because he always worked with difficulty. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro lies deep in a person. And there's the shell of Adam L'Chaveiro. It's nice, it's sweet, it's got a fuzz personality, and we chit-chat, and it's wonderful. But when you have to reach deep into your heart to reach out to a person that's not your cup of tea, and that's not pleasant, and is not who knows what, and you have to do it. And that's a melus in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And there never was a moment when there was no. It was always, we had to, I don't know how many years ago, it was a long time ago, I had to leave with my wife suddenly to America, something came up, some medical issue or something, and we had five little kids, and one of them had just had an operation, and it was very simple. Yeah, you can leave him by the house. That's the place to leave him at. And park the kids there. There wasn't any no, because if it's hard, that's not a reason not to do it. That's where a person realizes himself, when he has to do it when it's hard. We don't understand the ways of Hashgacha. And we can't to give pshatim and pirushim, but the illness that he suffered for those 21 years, basically it almost dovetailed. He was sick a year or two before he became Rosh Yeshiva, but he was still able to sort of cope with it. He was very strong, and I don't know in the eternal world of Yisurim, but if I can describe what that illness did, it was that every single step of it, every step to the Beis Medrash to daven, every movement was needed superhuman effort. Everything that he did, from the Tilos Yadayim to Moda Ani, till the end of the day, there was nothing that wasn't done with Amelus. Everything was like carrying a ton of bricks. My brother, my other brother, Yamin Gibalachim, described, he once went to say a Sheikh Lolly, and he said, I can't make it to Beis Medrash. But he said, but that doesn't give me an excuse to lay in bed. I think I can push myself to sit up. And with a lot of effort, he sat up. He said, you know, I don't think I'm finished. I think I can push myself to get to the door. He ended up saying a shir. Because if it's hard, that's not a reason not to. That's where the person realizes himself. Adam la amol yulat. A person is all about amelus. We look at it as the tragedy of Adar, that the person who had to do all that learning and all that chesed and all that arbatzis Torah, which included the fundraising and the dealing with the people and so on, had to do it with a ton of bricks on his back. But I think people realized the Adam Lamal Yulat, and Bakashas HaMenucha with Menucha doesn't get you Menucha. It's Yegiyah that gets you Menucha. Pushing, pushing, pushing. It's hard to enter somebody else's heart. But I think his tranquility, his inner tranquility and calm and peace, was because he knew he had never left a stone unturned as long as physically possible to turn it. Someone said the only words that they didn't hear from him were "Ein li koach," I don't have koach. But if he didn't have koach, he was out cold on the couch. But if he was up, then he kept pulling until he collapsed or whatever. But when a person squeezes every drop out, he realizes the vayechulu, he's mishtatif. in the menucha, the tam of menucha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world in Asher Bara Lekim La'asos. When a person brings out and expresses from the deepest recess of his being every drop of blood and sweat that he has, then the person finds the margoa l'nafshechem. Torah is a margoa l'nafshechem not because it pats over the problems. It's because it brings out from a person everything, and the person realizes what menuchas nefesh is. I want to finish with a little bit of a different taich of a probably Reb Nosson Tzvi's. He had very poignant emotions and expressed himself when he spoke, and his eyes and everything he did, there was a wealth of emotion there. But probably the high point of his person that expressed him best was when he would dance as in Vestera, and he would first come and try to do a kafen, then he would sit down, and then he would sit around, and then they would start singing Asher Misha Mola B'Torah, and he would pull himself up and get into it. And that was his nigging, was Asher Misha Mola B'Torah. The sort of first glance, the emphasis in that nigging is on the word Torah. Fortunate is the person who toils in Torah. And he was expressing his sense of how fortunate he was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to take him and to bring him to a place of Torah and a place where he would be Maimed Torah and be Kula Torah. But I think there was another shade to that emotion. And that was Asher Misha Amoli B'Torah. Learning, sitting and learning, conveys too much of a sense of ease. I'm sitting and learning. Ashrei Misha Amoli B'Torah. Fortunate is the person who has to work, and who, not who has to work, but who works, who pulls, who pushes. It's something that I think could be a life changer for us. We tend to think of mitzvahs and learning and all these things as being very important, and obstacles as slowing it down, and unfortunate occurrence, and becoming more and more difficult, and so on. But if we were to understand that our realization of self lies in the difficult parts, and Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu give us all health and so on, but the healthy person can squeeze himself and push himself in every area. Amelus is meant first and foremost of the amount of effort that I put into it, and it stretches Adam la Amol Yulad, stretches on the entire gamut of Ruchnistike enterprises, from pushing yourself to learn in learning, from pushing yourself in tefillah, in focus, in thinking about tefillah and bringing out your emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in helping somebody when it's difficult, and understanding that because it's difficult, this is a much deeper appreciation, a much deeper realization. Understanding that every mitzvah that comes with difficulty, that demands a melus of us, is really hitting home and bringing out the core of who we are. It's helping us realize the core of our raison d'être of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world. And maybe if we bear in mind the Musar Rosh Yeshiva of a person that lechem atzlos le'seichal, never ate a crust of bread earned through atzlos. Everything was from amol, from Torah, through tefillah, through others, and so on. Maybe if we learn to start applying
ourselves with that type of melis, we'll be zeicher to me'ein olam haba that he lived with. He lived in an olam haba of tranquility, of ease, of beauty. The hardest matzav, not despite them, but because them. Ashrei misha mola b'tayre, v'yisad nachas ruach l'yotzrei. Fortunate is the person that puts amal into his Torah and amal into his avoda, and vayar menucha kitoiv vayetshich malisk.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.